Welcome to the Deep Dive. Ever wondered what's really shaping your city's future? Where do your local tax dollars actually go? And what big projects are coming up? Today, we're going to, peel back the layers on the City of Big Lake's 2026 summary budget. Now, for many of us, a city budget, it can feel like this dense maze of numbers and jargon. But it's exactly where the real decisions get made about, services, infrastructure, the whole direction of the community.
Exactly. And this document, it isn't just a stack of figures. It's really a blueprint for Big Lake's next year and even beyond. It lays out plans for everything: public safety, roads, parks, utilities, stuff that really touches your daily life.
Right. And our mission here, our goal for this deep dive, is to give you a shortcut, basically. We want to pull out the most important bits, understand the why behind these numbers, and help you get properly informed about Big Lake's finances without having to wade through it all yourself.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's maybe zoom out first. The big picture for 2026. I mean, this isn't a small operation we're talking about.
Not at all.
The total city budgets are over $24 million. That's pretty substantial. Shows the scale of what a city manages.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you connect that to the sort of wider context, this budget is probably the city council's most important decision each year. Policy-wise, operationally, it sets the direction for everything. And the budget message itself, it points to some key priorities. We're talking major street improvements, new parks being developed, existing ones getting upgrades, big enhancements to the water system. And they're continuing that essential expansion of the wastewater treatment plant. It's a clear focus on core services, for residents and businesses alike.
Now, something that really jumped out at me in this budget, and maybe this will surprise some listeners, is how much they're emphasizing investment in the city's own people, its employees. We usually think budgets fund services directly, right? But Big Lake is calling out employee development and wellness. What's that about? What does that signal strategically?
Well, that's a really sharp observation. And it's smart, actually. It tells us Big Lake gets that its workforce is like its most valuable asset. Focusing on development and wellness, it's not just about feeling good. It's a practical tool for recruitment, for retention, especially now when finding good people is tough.
Makes sense.
A skilled, well-supported team, that means better services for you, the resident. And the 2026 budget backs this up. They're adding two positions: a community service officer and a community development
I'll put
coordinator.
in new roles.
But here's the strategic part. Both are created by reallocating existing positions. They're not just adding headcount. It shows they're thinking carefully about using the resources they already have.
Ah, I see. That's clever. Expand capacity without just bloating the payroll for new spots. And beyond the numbers and staffing, the budget message mentions this live big idea, encouraging residents to enjoy the amenities, choose local. Does that tie into economic strategy at all, like boosting local revenue?
Oh, absolutely. It's subtle, but it's definitely part of the bigger picture. That live big message isn't just, a nice slogan. It's linked directly to the city's economic health.
How so?
Well, by encouraging people to use the parks, go to events, shop local, it builds community spirit, sure, but it also generates local sales tax, supports local jobs, keeps dollars circulating right here in Big Lake. It's about creating this positive cycle where quality of life and economic health kind of feed each other.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. But let's get down to the brass tacks, the funding. What does this budget actually mean for your wallet? Let's talk property taxes, because that's what everyone thinks about. For the median home in Big Lake, valued around $375,000, your city taxes are set to go up by $3.56 a month. Annually, that's $43. Now, this is part of a total tax levy of just over $6.3 million, which itself is a 7.22% increase over 2025. So, why the jump? And what's it paying for specifically?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Or $6.3 million question. That's 7.22% increase. It's not just one lump sum. It gets carefully divided up. You've got the general levy that funds the day-to-day stuff, transfers to other funds. Then there's the abatement levy. This one's interesting. It's specifically for economic development.
Like for businesses.
It helps fund infrastructure or incentives for companies like Lucalin and Premier Marine to help them grow and create jobs here. Then you've got the debt levy, paying off existing city debt, principal, and interest. And finally, a special levy just for the Big Lake Economic Development Authority, BLD, to promote growth.
Got it. So the increase is spread across those different needs.
Precisely. It's strategic distribution.
Okay, let's dive into that general fund then. That's the main checking account, right? The biggest fund.
The largest. It totals almost $7.8 million for 2026. That's up about 5.77% from last year.
And what feeds that fund? Where does the money come from?
Well, the main thing to understand is property tax. That's the big one, making up about 67% of general fund revenues.
Wow, two-thirds.
Yeah, it really shows how vital property taxes are for keeping the city running. The other third, roughly 33%, comes from other places, charges for services like streetlights, franchise fees from utility companies using city right-of-way, licenses, permits, even some grants.
So it's somewhat diversified.
It helps. You don't want all your eggs in one basket.
Right. Now, looking at spending from that general fund, one area really dominates: public safety. Over half the entire property tax levy goes just to public safety. It's the biggest slice of the pie. What does that tell us?
Well, it clearly signals that safety, police, fire, building inspections is the top priority for the council and presumably the community.
Makes sense.
If you break down the whole general fund spending for 2026, 48% goes to public safety. Then you have 21% for general government, like administration, 13% for culture, think parks, library, events, 15% for public works, maintaining infrastructure, and about 3% for economic development via Bill ACD.
That breakdown really shows where the focus lies: foundational services.
Exactly, things that directly impact your quality of life.
And I see some notable increases within those spending areas. Personnel budget, for example, almost $5 million, up just over 4%. That's not just a standard raise, is it? What's in that increase?
Good question. No, it's more complex. That 4.07% bump covers a few things.
Yeah.
There's a 3% market rate adjustment to stay competitive on salaries.
Yep.
Then you have step increases for employees based on experience, and also increases in the wellness program costs and health insurance premiums.
Insurance always goes up.
Tell me about it. So it's really an investment in attracting and keeping good staff and keeping them healthy, which, like we said, means better service for residents.
Right. And speaking of investments, professional services, that line item jumped significantly, up over 35%. That's about $63,000 more. Why such a big increase there? Are they using more consultants?
That's a sharp eye. Yeah, that jump suggests they're bringing in specific outside expertise. This year, it looks like it's mostly higher audit fees, some new IT services being implemented, using engineering consultants for tricky projects, and police consulting for a pretty important BCA audit.
BCA audit, okay.
So it shows they're being proactive, using external know-how for efficiency, compliance, maybe for things they don't have the specialized skills for in-house full-time.
Okay, that makes sense. Commodities and supplies up about 4.5%, mostly software and inflation. Seems normal. But then transfers to other funds up a huge 37.57%. That's a really big shift. What's going on there?
Yeah, that one is significant. This big increase in transfers includes $450,000 going into the street maintenance fund.
Okay, for roads.
And another $100,000 to the park maintenance or improvement fund. And importantly, both of those are funded using dedicated franchise fees.
Ah, so not directly from property taxes.
Right. It's a strategic move to earmark those fees for infrastructure and amenities. Could be catching up on maintenance or just being more proactive about funding those areas long term.
Yeah.
There's also $10,000 for music in the park, which is double what it was in 2024.
Nice.
Though the budget does mention they need to look for grants or other funding to keep that sustainable.
Okay, good to know. Now, on the overall financial health, it looks like Big Lake is sitting pretty comfortably. The unassigned fund balance, that's like the city's rainy day fund, right?
Exactly. Reserves for the unexpected or future opportunities.
It's projected to be 58% of the 2026 budget. That's way above their own policy of 42-50%, and also over the state minimum of 42%. That seems really healthy.
It absolutely is. Provides a lot of flexibility and stability. And just to put it in perspective for you, the resident, what does all this cost per day?
Yeah, good question.
Based on Big Lake's population, it works out to about $1.67 per resident per day.
Huh.
Or looking at it per household, maybe $4.80 per day. So, you know, less than your fancy coffee gets you police, fire, parks, roads, admin, the works.
That really puts it into perspective, $4.80 a day per household. Okay, now let's move beyond property taxes. Big Lake uses other tools, like special revenue funds. How do those work?
Think of these like dedicated piggy banks. Money raised for a specific purpose has to stay in that fund for that purpose.
Okay, it keeps things separate.
Exactly. Examples are the Big Lake Economic Development Authority, BLAADA, which has its own funding, and things like the farmers market and music in the park.
Ah, okay.
Although, as we mentioned, for the market and the music, the city notes, they need to find more grants or donations or maybe fees to keep them going long term without dipping into other funds.
Right. Balancing community perks with financial reality.
That's always a challenge.
Then there are the enterprise funds. How are these different? What do they cover?
Enterprise funds are kind of like businesses the city runs. They provide a specific service or good, and they charge a fee for it. The idea is that the fees cover the cost of running that service.
So self-supporting.
Ideally, yes.
Yeah.
In Big Lake, the key ones are water, wastewater, stormwater, and interestingly, the city liquor store.
Okay, let's talk utilities then, your bill. For 2026, water rates, residential and commercial, are actually going down by 5% compared to 2025.
Yeah, that's a nice change for people.
Definitely noticeable. But what's the flip side?
Well, while water rates drop, sewer rates are going up by 10% over 2025.
Ah, okay. Why the increase there?
It likely reflects those ongoing big investments in the wastewater treatment plant expansion we talked about earlier. That's a major project.
Right, infrastructure costs.
Also, an interesting accounting shift. Both the water and sewer access charges, those fixed monthly fees on your bill, are now going directly into separate capital improvement funds for future projects, not into the operating funds.
So they're specifically saving that money for future upgrades.
Exactly. Building up dedicated capital reserves for the long haul.
Smart. Now, you mentioned the liquor store as an enterprise fund. That's pretty unique for a city. How big a deal is that financially? What does it actually fund?
It's actually a surprisingly significant contributor. Big Lake owns and runs its own liquor store, and the profits really help the city's bottom line. For 2026, they project a net profit of about $57,000 before they make a big transfer.
A transfer to where?
Get this. The liquor fund transfers $450,000 annually to the general fund.
Wow, almost $500,000?
Yep. That directly helps keep property taxes lower than they'd otherwise need to be to balance the general fund budget.
Yeah.
Think about that. Every purchase at the city liquor store helps pay for general services.
That's amazing.
And since 2010, the store has transferred over $6.4 million. That money has helped pay for things like playground upgrades at Powell Park, the Veterans Memorial, the Eagle Lake Road Trail. It's a powerful, self-sustaining revenue source.
Incredible. Okay, let's shift gears to investing in the future. The Capital Improvement Plan, or CIP. You mentioned this is an automatic spending approval. It's a planning document. So what's its main purpose then? Why have it?
Great question. Its main role is financial discipline and planning. It's a roadmap for anticipated needs over several years, but, and this is key, each purchase needs specific council approval later.
So it stops impulse buys, basically.
Kinda, yeah. It ensures control, makes sure projects align with a long-term vision, and lets the city react if conditions change. It also involves a clear three-step process for actually buying things.
Okay, walk us through that. How does something go from being in the CIP plan to being, say, a new police car?
Okay, step one, council direction. A department head says, hey, we need that item from the CIP, and the council has to formally say, okay, go ahead and start the process. This is where they really debate needs versus wants.
Makes sense.
Step two, procurement. Getting bids or quotes. The rules vary depending on the cost. Small stuff, under $25K, needs quotes. Bigger things, up to $175K, need sealed bids. Over $175K. Formal bids, public advertising, ensures they get good value.
Right, follow the rules.
Step three, final purchase approval. Once they have the bids and know the final cost, it usually goes back to the council on the consent agenda for the final.
Okay.
It's a structured process.
Got it. And just to be clear, what counts as capital for Big Lake, not just buying pens and paper, right?
Right. For Big Lake, a capital item has to cost at least $5,000 and be expected to last at least 3 years. That separates major investments from routine stuff.
Okay. So what are some of the big capital projects planned for 2026 that residents might actually see or benefit from?
Well, there are quite a few interesting ones. About $10,000 for replacing IT computers, keeping city tech current. Small but important, $2,400 for fire department radio replacements.
Okay.
A bigger one, $80,000 for police fleet replacement. Importantly, that's using state public safety aid funds, so less impact on local property taxes.
Good.
Then there's $300,000 for a street seal coat project that's crucial for keeping roads in good shape. And a really big one, $1,175,000 for parks development.
Wow, over $1 million for parks.
Yeah, including upgrades at Lake Ridge, Lakeside, shores of Lake Mitchell, and Mitchell Farms Parks. Big boost for recreation. Plus, $258,000 for water fund stuff like water tower and well maintenance, and $25,000 for the liquor store equipment and building repairs, reinvesting in that asset.
That's a really diverse range of projects hitting lots of areas. And how are these funded? It's not all property tax, right?
No, definitely not. These projects pull from, I think, 12 different funding sources identified in the plan. things like transfers from the general fund, that local government aid, LGA, from the state we mentioned, issuing bonds, and transfers from those enterprise funds, like water and liquor. It's a mix.
A complex web of funding.
It is. And speaking of LGA, there's an important note about that long term. While Big Lake gets about $627,000 in LGA for 2026,
yeah,
staff projections show that starting around 2030, that LGA money likely won't be enough to cover all the planned equipment replacements in the CIP.
Uh-oh. So a future funding gap.
Potentially, yes. It signals a future challenge. They'll need to find that money somewhere else, maybe bigger transfers from the general fund, maybe using other capital funds, or maybe some projects get delayed or scaled back. Tough choices are likely coming down the road.
That definitely highlights the importance of long-term planning, which it seems Big Lake takes seriously. They link these budgets to a 10 to 25-year strategic vision. How do they actually ensure that long-term view stays on track?
They have a good framework. They create five-year plans for every single city fund. And critically, all staff recommendations, especially budget ones, have to tie directly back to the city's overall strategic plan.
Ah, so consistency is built in.
Exactly. It keeps the day-to-day actions aligned with the long-term goals. It's about building a financially resilient future, not just getting through the next year.
Okay, so what are some of the key assumptions behind those long-term plans? What are they banking on economically or demographically?
Good question. For the general fund's five-year outlook, they're assuming, for instance, a 10% annual jump in health insurance costs.
Ouch. Realistic, probably.
Yeah. And a 6% annual increase for wages to stay competitive. They're projecting pretty modest growth, about 15 new homes built each year.
Slow and steady.
Right. Inflation for general operating costs is pegged at 3% annually. And they also assume the city's overall tax capacity, the total value of taxable property, will grow about 1% per year starting in 2027. Plus, they plan to funnel increased revenue from those franchise fees directly into capital improvement funds.
Okay, so a set of fairly cautious, realistic assumptions, it seems.
Seems that way.
So, given all this, the plans, the assumptions, the potential LGA shortfall, what's the strategy for managing city debt moving forward?
Ah, this part is actually quite fascinating, pretty smart planning. As the city pays off its existing debt, especially some bigger chunks starting around 2030, the plan is not just to lower the debt levy and give that money back, so to speak.
Yeah, but then?
They plan to shift those levy dollars, the ones that were going to debt payments, over into the general levy, and then immediately redirect that money into the capital improvement funds.
Ah, so repurpose the debt payments for future infrastructure.
Exactly. It's a strategic way to fund future needs without having to ask for new tax increases later. As old debts retire, they essentially reallocate those existing levy funds to proactively tackle future capital projects. It helps avoid falling behind on infrastructure down the line.
That's a clever long-term play. Okay, well, our deep dive today really shows, I think, that every number in this Big Lake budget tells a story. It's about priorities, planning ahead, this whole complex dance between revenues and spending, all aimed at, you know, building a better, more sustainable community for everyone living in Big Lake.
Absolutely. And we connect this all back to the bigger picture, especially thinking about those long-term projections, that potential LGA funding crunch around 2030, it really raises a key question for you, our listener.
Yeah.
How do you think Big Lake should prioritize its future capital projects, knowing these financial realities might be coming? What tough choices might the city face? Maybe it's fixing roads versus building a new park amenity, or upgrading IT versus replacing fire equipment sooner rather than later. How would you weigh those trade-offs for your community?
That's a great thought to leave people with. Definitely something to reflect on what this budget means for your life today and for the future of Big Lake.